Welcome to the Spirit of Work solo episodes of the Culture and Leadership Connections podcast. If you long to see happier and more humane workplaces and want to reflect on how that could happen, you are in the right place. These monthly solo episodes are based on my book, The Spirit of Work, Timeless Wisdom, Current Realities. The book was written from three complementary sources of knowledge. One, the sacred writings of the world's spiritual traditions. Two, scientific developments on human behavior and well-being in the workplace. And three, insightful experiences from business, my clients, and my own work. In each episode, I elaborate on one of the ideas from the book and ask questions to help us all think more holistically about work. Join me as we combine the wisdom of the past and the reading of our current realities to build the future of work. And now for today's episode. Hello, Culture and Leadership Connections podcast listeners, and welcome to episode 11 of the Spirit of Work episodes, where I talk about my book, The Spirit of Work, in various concepts and chapters throughout the book. And today I'd like to talk to you about bringing your mind to work. Our minds are not located in our bodies or our brains. According to the Baha'i teachings, the mind is the rational soul, and so the human spirit and the rational capacity of being able to think is all a part of the soul. So Abdu'l-Bahá writes, "This spirit, which in the terminology of the philosophers is the rational soul, embraces all beings, and as far as human ability permits, discovers the realities of things and becomes cognizant of their peculiarities and effects and the qualities and properties of beings." So human beings have a rational soul, which is their mind, that allows them to discover the realities of things, to notice effects and uniqueness, properties and qualities. Cool, isn't it? So you can use your mind by using the powers of thought. Now, this has been categorized as perceptual, conceptual, abstract, reflective, creative, and critical and associative thinking. So that's a whole lot of different things that we can do with our mind. So when someone says they're out of their mind, it means that the emotions associated with their mind have taken over all the other processes and they can't think rationally. Mindlessness is a result of actions taken without any concern for their consequences. Mindfulness, on the other hand, is using all the powers of the mind to enhance and expand the experience of the moment to its fullest and to make decisions from a fully activated rational soul. And that is a quote from page 70 of my book. What does this mean for me to bring my mind to work? Well, for me, it would mean that I'm using all the powers of my rational soul, consciously and unconsciously, bringing the toolkit of my mind to solving workplace problems or accomplishing the task at hand. If I'm a doctor, that would be to diagnose an illness and prescribe the appropriate remedy. For a chef, it might be to creatively build a meal. For a recruiting manager, it might be to find and hire a suitable candidate for a job. For anything that we do that involves completing a task, there is a way for us to bring our mind to it and to be mindful of how we work through that process. And one of the ways to do that is to understand the different types of thinking, because thinking isn't all the same, and different tasks require different types of thinking. You may be used to analytical thinking, which means you look at a problem and try to solve it by taking all the pieces apart until you could analyze it. On the other hand, synthetic thinking means you take the pieces of a situation and put them together into one whole, so that you can make a comprehensive whole decision about a project, a family, or a career, right? Any of those types of things require synthetic thinking, where you synthesize all of the elements together. You can have creative thinking, which involves the ability to imagine and create out of nothing an idea that becomes a physical reality. And that is one of the powers unique to human beings. And creative thinking can be positive or it can be negative. You can be very creative in your cruelty. You can be very creative in your kindness. You can be very creative in the way you fix a motor. You can be very cruel in the way that you use a motor to destroy things. So just because something's creative doesn't mean it's necessarily a good thing. You just have to see how it's being used. It's one of the powers of the soul. You can use it any way you like, and that's where the power of choice comes in. Now, there's critical thinking, which is the ability to step outside of our experience and consider options. That is really important. If you consider an option without having your identity attached to it, then that means you can think about it without feeling threatened. But if considering another idea that wouldn't be one that you'd adopt is something that makes you feel like your identity is being threatened, you would just want to destroy that idea. And that is something that we see everywhere in the world because critical thinking is missing. So when everyone brings their minds to work, it really makes a difference because people collaboratively can solve better than people on their own can solve. Because collaboratively, you're going to run into a number of different possibilities, potential problems, and also ways of doing a particular task that will bring about better results because everybody's input has been solicited. In my book, I have a story about a plant manager who was faced with a rollout of a new process involving multiple departments and job roles. It also involved changing the map of the plant. So that meant that some of the things that were the way that people and products moved through the plant would change. So you can imagine this would be very disruptive. And so the manager decided he was going to present this plant to a group of supervisors. And he was really focused on executing the plan. He wasn't focused on hearing what they had to say. He was sure that his rollout plan was flawless because he had the role, the title, and he had the education. And he figured he was the smartest person in the room, so why wouldn't his idea be perfect? Well, what happened is as he presented it to the group of supervisors, within 10 minutes, he realized that his presentation was not working. And so he ditched his PowerPoint and tried to explain the rollout again. This time, the supervisors said, "There are some points you may have missed." And one by one, they pointed out 13 points of failure in his perfect plan. But they did it in a kind way. They weren't trying to make him lose face. They were trying to solve the problem. He was stunned that a group of people without education or experience that he thought were inferior thinkers to himself could so easily and quickly find flaws in the plan that it had taken him weeks to create. And he realized that the expert is the person closest to the job, not the person with the title or the person with the most education. And so he thought this is quite useful. So he felt more humbled. He asked his supervisors what they thought the next step would be. And he said, "Well, we should go to our frontline employees and ask them if there's anything else that we missed." And he didn't want to do that. He went, "Oh, come on. They're immigrants. They don't even speak English well. What could they possibly contribute?" But the supervisor said, "Well, there are some team translators and we trust each other. We work together. And there are some very important points that can come out. Even if somebody's English is limited, that doesn't mean their brains aren't working." And so he went, "Oh, all right, go ahead." So they did it and came back in a few days with a whole plan that was so beautiful that the rollout happened with no problems. There were no glitches. There were no issues. There were a few little things at the end that they needed to do differently, but they avoided so many problems and lost time and productivity by actually working with everybody's mind. So people are always bringing their minds to work, but are you using them? And here's another way that I'm thinking that bringing your mind to work could be extremely useful. And that's something that I've used with clients in managerial positions when they often feel that they're not being seen or acknowledged for their work. So we go through a process of strategically, how do you bring your work to the attention of the people that matter and how, so that it doesn't look like you're self-promoting or that you're being a braggart. And so as they learn to do that, they start to come to the realization that the people that they're managing don't know how to do this either. They don't know how to bring their work to the minds of other people. So this is not collaborating. This is not top down. This is bottom up and thinking about somebody that's in the middle, assisting the people who are just in the junior ranks about making sure that their work is seen and valued in different ways. And so when we start thinking that way, we have a huge, huge shift. And it makes the workplace so much more pleasant to work with. I want to tell you about an oil and gas rig manager whose name is Zach. Zach is not his real name, but I'm going to tell you about Zach. He was extremely humble in his leadership because he continuously pointed out in a self-depreciating way how he wasn't perfect and he definitely needed the skills of the other managers, which he often named. He named the managers and their skills. And I have yet to see any other group with men in it that do that. Sometimes women do, but even then, generally speaking, in the workplace, people are not paying attention to other people's skills and capacities and personalities. So this man, Zach, was very good at that. And he said, "You know, we don't have a good communication plan that can standardize some of our safety procedures. And we're all at different sites, but I don't know how to do this. I think we should have an online meeting once a month with maybe, you know, get some ideas out there, but how are we going to make this streamlined? How are we going to make it so it doesn't feel like anybody's lost time or anybody's taking too much time speaking or nobody's speaking? I have no idea. How can we do this?" And so because of that humility and listening and waiting in silence, people started to come up with ideas. And shortly, they had a little plan and they decided who were going to be the first three leaders of the meeting. And after he said, "Why don't we have at the end of each meeting, how did that go? What did you like? How can we encourage each other? He did a beautiful job of bringing people's minds to the situation in a way that felt safe for them. And that brings me to the SWELL model, which I will mention several times: safety, well-being, encouragement, and learning. Zach was a perfect example of how to make a situation that was new for a group of managers safe for them to participate, where they felt like everybody was joining in and had something important to say. And he was very good at giving them a voice, but not letting anybody dominate. And when he did that, he promoted well-being, which is feeling heard and acknowledged and seen. He encouraged them and said, let's check in, let's learn this together, which also brings us to the learning part. So he encouraged them and they checked in. They made a few notes on what their collective learning was. They tried their processes out. And within about 6 months, they managed to have some of the standard operating procedures for safety that had not been properly followed or not properly articulated in the past rolled out in all the sites. And that came from bringing your mind to work, paying attention to other people's minds, bringing them into the process, making sure they feel safe, heard, they're encouraged, and that the whole group is learning. So that's all I have to say for you today. The Spirit of Work, Timeless Wisdom, Current Realities has some really useful principles and practical examples that you can use, in addition to some great discussion questions at the end of each chapter. So if you don't have a copy, go onto Amazon or Barnes and Noble and get yourself a copy. It's not expensive. The Spirit of Work, Timeless Wisdom, Current Realities by me, Marie Gervais. And let me know what you think about it on our podcast page, shiftworkplace.com/podcast. Go to the red box where it says, I would love to hear from you. And let me know what you think about these Spirit of Work episodes. Thank you so much for listening. And may culture and leadership connections continue to guide and inspire your day. Here's a shout out from Scott King, who is one of the co-founders of the BX Network in Canada. And he's referring to the Insights versions of Culture and Leadership Connections podcast 01 and 02, which is what I learned from 100 plus guests and what I learned from 100 plus interviews. This is what Scott had to say. I want to thank Marie for her labor of love. What you do matters greatly in the workplace and will affect both the work and the home in profound and powerful ways, as we learn from you. So thank you for all you do with this podcast and congratulations on 100 plus. That certainly doesn't happen by accident. Way to go. Thanks so much, Scott. And I hope others will listen to those 100 plus episodes as well.